Hi, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 81 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And this will be program 183. If you want a copy of it, we'll tell you how to receive it at the end of the program. And please get your paper and pencil ready so that you can mark down it's program 183. And please specify if you want a CD or a tape. I really thank and praise the Lord that we're picking up a lot of new radio stations in Los Angeles, San Diego, and other major cities. We're actually on the air everywhere on shortwave, but we're picking up a lot of new A&M stations here and there, for like Memphis. We've been on there for quite a while, and so many other stations. If you want a schedule of the different times that we're on air and the call letters and so on, and even the shortwave call letters, numbers, you can just call us and we'll give you copies of that as well. All right, so right now we have some letters and some scriptures. So, Father, let's all bow our heads and worship the Lord. Lord, we worship you and we praise you. We praise you because you're the living God that has caused us to be knowledgeable of your word, that we can choose with our will to either choose your will or ours. And I thank you, Lord, that you've given us all a part of faith, each one of us has got the equal amount of faith. Some of us use it and some of us don't. You've given everyone the measure of faith. And I thank you, Lord, that you've also given me the fear of you that I received in the office and then through some terrible visions. They were terrifying visions that you let me see and hear. And the times that you've audibly spoken to me, and also how you speak to me every day. I ask, Lord, I pray, and I know you always answer my prayers, especially when I'm praying for you to outward anoint me. Let everything that is said be of you. There's no way that we can possibly be true Christians unless we have consecrated ourselves unto you for the purpose of you doing your work in and through us. Lord, do your work in and through me today and all the other brothers and sisters throughout the world. I thank you and praise you, Lord, and worship you because I know you hear and I know you answer the true prayers of a person that is doing the right thing. The righteous, the ones that do your will. And Lord, it's like we are not to even think of doing our will because we gave ourselves to you as a gift to do with what you want. If you exalt us, then we are to praise and thank you. If you send us in a place that seems terrifying, like the time that you allowed me to go to prison for the gospel's sake, I know that there's a work in there for me to do. And there was, and I really thank and praise you for it, Lord. I'm yours to command whatever you want to put me through. Do it, Lord. You've done that in the past, and I'm not looking to get into prison again or anything like that, but Lord, if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Lord, open every heart, every mind, every soul, every spirit to receive that what you are doing, what work you're doing in and through me today, and do the same thing with the church, Lord. Let souls be saved. There are many people sitting in churches today that are not saved. And let the church, those that are saved, be strengthened from your work in this broadcast. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay. Now, where is the first letter from?
From Uganda, Africa.
Okay.
Dear Pastor Lamo, peace, joy, and favor of the Lord God upon you in Jesus' name. I hope this letter finds you in good health. My reason for writing this letter is to encourage you to remain strong in the Lord and to stick to your calling. For sure you are a person of a difference. God has chosen you amongst the very few who he has decided to use in this last harvest. This I am telling you because I have seen, listened, and interacted with many servants of God, but I have found few with such an ambition like yours to proclaim the gospel of real truth.
Well, the Lord gave him the ambition. He told me that he frightened me. I'm scared to not do what the Lord says because I see the consequences of it in his word. Paul said it in a nutshell by saying, if I don't preach the word, then I too would become a castaway. And if the Apostle Paul would be a castaway, so would I. And so therefore, God has encouraged me to do that, to preach his word. I have gotten a lot of fear from God. And the Lord stated in the Old Testament that no one will serve him unless they fear him. And that's why you see so little of people in this world today that are serving the Lord, is because they don't fear what he says. If you people are just doing their own thing. And by doing this, God, they're just sending their own souls to hell. And so the Lord takes people that and puts fear in them, as he did Moses. The Bible says that Moses feared God so much that his skin actually quaked. And the people, like the Apostle Paul, feared God. All the apostles, all the prophets feared God. We don't dare not do what he says. And I just pray that you have the fear of the Lord as well. Because you will not continuously keep his commandments unless the fear of the Lord is on you. This is why the book of Ecclesiastes tells us that the whole duty of man, I mean, there's nothing else but to fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, the wisest man in the world said. He didn't abide by that, but he knew it, and his own words will condemn him on the day of judgment. He started marrying up with a lot of wives that were not of the Lord. Now, the Lord never condemned others in the Bible for having different wives, but Solomon, God condemned him because they were wives that were from religions, false religions, and were not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. And the Bible says, a lot of people say, well, are you preaching polygamy? And no, I'm not. I'm preaching the Bible. Okay? Are you against the Bible? Are you against the Word of God? There's no place in the Bible that condemns polygamy. Okay? There just isn't. If it was, well, then I'm sure all those people, such as David committed adultery. He took another man's wife when he had dozens of them. The Lord said that, he says, if you... I gave you the wives of Saul, the plural, the wives of Saul, and I gave you the daughters of Saul, and I gave you the daughters of Israel and also of Judah. And if that weren't enough, all you'd have to do is ask, and I would have given you more. And so God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If people wanted that, that's fine. But what he did that was wrong was he took Uriah's wife. That's adultery. And the Lord really condemned him, and he allowed David's wives to be to fornicate, to commit adultery on him. His own son went up on the roof and had sexual relationships with him. And you take all the, if that was a sin, well then all the patriarchs in the Bible would be going to hell, such as, there's a whole list of them. I mean, you just go down the line. One of the patriarchs had 70 sons. Think they came all from one woman?
No.
No, I'd hate to see her. know what she looked like after that ordeal. You remember who that was?
Gideon.
Gideon, right. And who else had many wives? I'm just preaching the Bible, okay? So many people are afraid of the government or afraid to go to prison for even speaking what the Bible says, you know? And they say, well, you're a polygamist then. Well, fine marriage license or... no one has ever been able to prove that, okay? I'm not married to anybody but one wife. Okay, but I'm preaching the Bible. Because sometimes God does tell people to get married to other women. Like, for instance, you remember the man that God told to marry two women at one time? Two prostitutes, as a matter of fact. So that he could prove to this prophet. Do you remember who that was?
Hosea,
that's right. He wanted to prove to him how adulterous they were with God. They weren't keeping his commandments. So he said, marry two prostitutes because you people are prostitutes. And I want you to know how it feels to have a couple of wives that just cheat on you all the time. So he, you know, he's not going to tell that to you because he already proved his point in the Bible and God doesn't have to do the same thing twice. And so the man married the two wives, these two prostitutes, and sure enough, they were cheating on him. He said, this is what Judah is doing, and this is what Israel is doing to me. Now you know what it feels like, okay? So now go out and preach to these people and tell them how it really is. And tell them that they're treacherous, that these women are treacherous. And the women that Solomon was married to, they got him worshiping other gods other than the Lord God. So I'm sure that's the first commandment, is to worship no other god. Amen?
Amen.
No idols. And he can't get off the hook with that. On Judgment Day, he's not going to be forgiven unless he got... I don't know how he got by with that, or would ever get by with it, because it would be totally unscriptural for God to let him get by with it. And the Lord doesn't hide anything. So it's illegal to divorce, but the world government today says it's illegal to marry. And if you get married, they penalize you by raising your taxes because you're married. They're encouraging homosexual because they don't want the birth rate to increase, because they say there's too many humans on the face of this earth. And they say we're going to run out of food and oil and all this kind of stuff. There's plenty of oil and there's plenty of food if people would just grow it, and they wouldn't pay farmers to not grow it. I mean, this is just a whole other subject. But, you know, I preach the Bible. Yeah, I also preach celibacy, you know, or being a eunuch. But that's in the Bible, too. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be a eunuch. Unless God told me to be one. But I preach the whole Bible. This is a full gospel church over here. And, well, would you let people in that commit polygamy? No, because it's against the law here in the United States now. About 75% of the world practices it, but it's against the law here in the United States, if you want to call that the law. So I wouldn't let people, I wouldn't marry multiple, a man with multiple wives at all. No, I wouldn't. Never have, never will. All right, in case you know Satan is whispering in your ear about something. And I'm not a homosexual either. You know, I've had people say that too until they started saying that I had 100 wives. God forbid. God forbid. Okay? One is enough. Okay? Okay, then what?
The Lord called me, and this was after an encounter with him, and he spoke to me and said, my people perish due to lack of knowledge, Hosea 4:6. Since then I have been in the front lines to struggle for the liberty of God's people whom the devil had stolen, according to John 10:10. As God told me that his people shall know the truth, and this truth shall set them free.
Right, and Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Word of God come into the world in the flesh, and because God did not have a God as a spirit, and the spirit doesn't have blood. So in the first chapter of John, the Bible says that God had to come to the world in the flesh so that he could have genuine human blood to shed, so that our sins could be forgiven, because it's written that there's no forgiveness of sins without the shedding of blood. And only the blood of God come in the flesh, this God-man, would be sufficient, because it was pure, it was clean, it was human blood. It isn't as some preachers say that it was a different kind of blood than we have, because he definitely was a human with God in him. And Mary did not give birth to God. She gave birth to a man that had God in him by the Spirit. And so we all have God. Those of us that are born again of the Spirit have God in us as well. And God's sitting on the throne. God is omnipresent. He's everywhere. And God can come into us just as he did Jesus, except with the exception, of course, we were not begotten by the Holy Spirit in some woman's womb. We were all sinners, but Jesus was not. He was begotten by the Spirit. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. And she is not deity. She's not to be worshipped. It infuriates God when people think that they can pray to her, and when people think that she is deity. There's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the body of Christ. Those that are the body of Christ, which are, is the corporate body of Jesus, all the born-again Christians. All right. Now, what's the rest of the letter?
I thank God that I have found someone like you who has the same calling, exposing Satanism in the New World Order, government propagandas, etc. This is exactly my calling, and God has given me the vision of life-changing ministries whose details are attached to this email. Your written materials are a great mission empowerment to us. They are liked by everyone, saved and not saved. Many people come to me asking to know more after reading your resources. Please know that you are doing great to the kingdom of God. These days...
Well, the Lord did... the kingdom of God is doing great by me as well. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Because we're nothing without him. We're just... all the glory goes to God. Amen. Okay, then what?
These days, it is amazing how God is touching the people. One night, it was past midnight, according to Uganda time, and a young man came to awake me up that he wanted to see me. On reaching me, he told me that he wanted to get saved, and as we shared, he told me how God had kept coming to him all through that night, making him uncomfortable. I prayed for him, and now he is saved. Many times this has happened to me, and it shows that Jesus is coming very soon. God bless you, Evangelist Ivan from Uganda, Africa.
Well, God bless you, Evangelist Ivan, very much as well. And I know he is, as long as you continue on to the end. All right, then what? The next letter is from where?
From Newark, New Jersey.
Newark, New Jersey. Okay, let me hear what they say.
Dear Pastor Tony Alamo, I've read your literature, Your Way, Wait, Troubles, and Are You Listening? I thank God for your help and guidance in your writing. I am now more hungry to understand God's ways. Being I am incarcerated for a crime I have not committed, it is very hard on myself, my wife-to-be, and my handicapped stepson. God knows I'm innocent, but I believe God put me here for a reason. I didn't commit this crime, but I was using drugs a lot. God saved me and my family, and when it's his will for me to go home, so be it. I do believe God made me to serve him, and that Christ loves me so much that he'd rather have died than to live without me. God is first in all I do, think, and say. I have such peace and happiness and a better relationship with my wife-to-be, whom I love dearly. Please send me more of your literature written by you, and your book, The Messiah, and any other books that will enlighten me to stay on the right path of God. Please say a prayer for peace. Also, please say a prayer for me and my family. Thank you sincerely, Ignacio from Newark, New Jersey.
Okay. And the reason I mentioned about the polygamy situation is because there's a lot of people out in the world that think that homosexuality is fine, but it's those people, if they don't repent, are going to hell. But there's a lot of people out there that are polygamous, and it is no sin. There's not one condemnation in the Bible for polygamy in the Old Testament or the New. Not at all. They might think that there's one scripture there that says, now if any man desires the office of a bishop, let him have one wife, Paul said. But what about people that don't want to be bishops? Amen?
Amen.
And and this was only in Rome and in the Greece, because those people don't believe in polygamy. They're idol worshippers. They believe in homosexuality. The Greeks are known for it. And a lot of Italians as well. A lot of Norwegians too. A lot of blacks and Mexicans and so on and so forth. You know, but there's a whole predominance of them over there. I've been to Greece. I've been to Italy. I've been to Rome and Venice. I lived a half a block from the Vatican. Isn't that something? The big bells, you know, would rattle my room when they would be ringing over there at the Vatican. And I was going to call over there and have the Pope turn it off. Okay? Okay, I'm just kidding. Okay, then what else? The next letter.
From Kumasi, Ghana, Africa. Dear Pastor, the blood of Jesus Christ, which was poured on Calvary, be with you and bless you. I was highly delighted and surprised when I received your literature. I thank God for your blessed and anointed ministry, which reaches many countries in this world for Christ. Pastor, I would like to thank you for the materials you've sent to me. May God our Lord richly bless you for the good works you've been doing. Pastor, the newsletters you've sent to me have been distributed, and I was amazed at the changes it is bringing into the lives of the people, and they promised that from now on they will go to church and worship God. Some even said that they will write to you. I wish and want you to send me about 100 pieces of your literature to distribute for the Word of God to reach every area in our city, and one Bible for me because I'm not having a Bible. Please, I will be happy and thankful if I get these requested materials. I know that by the grace of the Almighty God, my request will be granted. Please, I'm looking forward to hearing and receiving from you soon. Yours in the Lord, Eric from Kumasi, Ghana, Africa.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to add one thing, is that in the Old and New Testament, there is no provision for a young man to date, or a girl to date. Now, this is inviting satanic things. First of all, a 14-year-old boy, 13, 14, 12-year-old boy, and a 13-year-old girl are not ready for, especially the boy, is not ready for marriage, because they can't afford anything like that, and if there's children, they can't afford it. But, you know, in some rare cases, this has been happening. Here in the United States, the law used to be that people could be married at 13 and 14 with parents' consent. And also, it was, we have a list of all the different states, and even to this very day, with parental consent, they can. Now, this false law, I mean, my grandmother was married at a very young age like that, and she was able to see her grandchildren, and some people that were married very young like that were able to see their great grandchildren and to enjoy them while they're alive. But it's against the satanic government. Marriage is deemed to be an evil thing. Only homosexuality is approved. Yeah, this is really evil. And they allow young children to have sexual relationships in schools, and the parents are encouraging their kids to date. What are they going to do on a date? And they're going to kiss. What's kissing? Well, what is kissing all about anyway? What does that accomplish? Amen? What it does is it leads to premarital sex. Amen?
Amen.
And so there's never anybody ever dated in the Old or New Testament. That's completely. The Bible says that we're supposed to, the children are supposed to honor their mother and father so that they can have a longer life. That means that they should help their mother and father around the house. And they should do everything they can to please their mother and father, not to go out and have fornication in the in a car or some sleazy place. And the televisions today and the magazines and everything and in schools, which are run by the Catholic cult, and the government, which is run by the Catholics. They're doing everything in their power to get these kids to date and to go out and have sex, and they even pass out birth control pills to preteen kids. And they have a lot of guts, you know, prosecuting anybody. They should start prosecuting themselves. The Bible says for us to judge ourselves with the Word of God, to examine ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean our body parts. That means examine what we're doing and compare it with the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And so I just thought the Lord wanted me to add that into this message today. Okay, do you have another letter?
No, that was it?
Okay,
yes.
Sharon, you want to come to the mic here and let's begin with part 81 of How to Have God's Life Living in You.
There is no question that there aren't many brothers and sisters in churches who have consecrated themselves.
No. See, it's for sure young boys and girls. And the parents, if they were consecrated unto the Lord, they wouldn't allow their kids to go out on dates, because there isn't anything going to be accomplished with two teenagers or two preteen kids on a date. But just immorality, that's all it is. Okay? They have no business out dating. Honor your mother and father. Stay at home and help them out. And, you know, there's a lot of mothers and fathers that are not worthy to be helped, and the children know it. But there is, you still are not to go on dates. You could honor the Lord, and the parents might get saved, all right? Okay, then what?
It's because of the fact that they don't really realize God's right to ownership of us.
Right. Now, the Lord owns us because He bought us. Bought us with His blood. Okay, and then go ahead.
Those people who don't really realize God's right of ownership to us must learn that lesson if they want to spend eternity in heaven. So we have to consecrate ourselves. There are several reasons why we must.
In consecrating, I asked some of the people in the church if they knew what consecration was. And a big question mark appeared on both of their eyelids. And so I'm going to tell you. What it means is that you give yourself to God. Now, if you give yourself to God, you don't own yourself any longer. You're the gift to God to use as He will. Okay, then go ahead.
One is that He has the right to own us. Of course, most of us know that we must, because this pleases the Lord. We must love the Lord because He loved us first. The love of the Lord. We must realize that God for sure has the right to possess us. When we first began serving the Lord, it was extremely exciting. But as we go down through the years, we find that, even though it seems exciting to me all the time, there are times that it has not always been so pleasant. The Lord tells us that it's easy and light. And if we know the reason why we should be consecrated unto the Lord, and we know what our motive must be, then the Lord says, quote, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Unquote.
Right, the reason for consecration, again, is because He bought us. And the motive that motivates us to serve Him is when we find out that He loved us so much, that, and then He pours out His Spirit on us and communicates to us. And that's a good motivation, when you know somebody loves you. Okay, then what?
Some people like to fall away, but if they give you what true consecration is, they know the reason for consecration, and they also have the love of God, or they know the love of God, that it's like a mighty rushing water towards them. They might want to fall away sometimes or give up, but God's loving, rushing water of love from the Lord forbids them to do this. Many people give up. Then there's a lot of people who feel like giving up, but they know it's impossible. The reason why it is impossible for them is that they realize that God purchased them. He has the right to own them. We are purchased by God, and therefore we belong to Him.
Okay. As I went through the other day, if I purchase something, I deserve to use it because it belongs to me. If I buy a car, I can drive it, or I can scrap it out, or I can dissemble it. I can do anything with it. And therefore, God, if He owns us, He can send us to prison if He wants to. And if we don't obey, then we're going to the lake of fire, or else He can exalt us like He did Joseph. But He put Joseph through a lot of fire to make him extremely thankful that when God exalted him, he can look back at the way that he was put through the fire, the different environments that he was through. People, that woman lied about him and said that he had sexual relationships with him. And we just saw a supposed to be Christian movie where it shows Joseph kissing her and everything else. There's such evil people that call themselves Christians. There's such evil people that make, quote, Christian movies, and they make the very excellent prophets of the Lord look like they're full of lust and everything else. But the Bible doesn't say that at all. And I know by the power of God living in me that if I was in the house of somebody that was my master and he was like a ruler, and the woman was trying to grab me and have some kind of sexual relationships with me, I would not do it myself. And so I know that Joseph didn't. I mean, I know because the Bible tells how good he was, and the Word of God is God. And God, it's with Him, it's impossible to lie. And so we just have to believe the Bible. But these movies, I mean, they make... And see, the Bible states that there would be false prophets in the last days. And these people, these false prophets, are in the media. They're on the History Channel. They're in schools. They're everywhere. And they're movie producers and directors. Hollywood is perverting everything in the world today. It's like a perversion, and I wouldn't put it past God to rain down fire and brimstone on that town and the surrounding areas, and also San Francisco and other notorious areas like Houston, Texas, Nashville, Tennessee, and many other places. I know what's going on in all those places, and even Billings, Montana, and Helena, Montana. But we have these radio broadcasts, and all over the world. But we have the radio. God has given us to open up doors for radio broadcasts so that people all over the world can hear these messages and come to their senses and become saved. And there's great direction in the Word of God. If you just listen to false prophets, all that is a bunch of people are trying to give you an excuse to continue in sin. In other words, they say Jesus was married. That's a false prophet, that he had children. We're his children. It's a spiritual marriage between Jesus and ourselves. He enters into us. It's just, you know, these are whole different subjects, but you just should tune out. Read the Bible. Okay, then what else?
If we want to go to heaven, whether we enjoy it or not, we cannot do anything but consecrate ourselves to the Lord and serve Him. The people in this world get married because they feel like it. Most of the divorces today happen because they feel like divorcing.
Children feel like having sex, and the government feels like giving them condoms, and the school system feels like giving them condoms and birth control pills. And so, you know, everybody just does what they feel. But we are to obey the commandments of the Lord. And we can't do that unless we give ourselves totally over to the Lord. Because even if there's a little bit of our life still living in us, we're not going to serve the Lord. We have to become like a burnt ox on the altar where they used to burn these sacrifices. And we become a heap of ashes. And then we are resurrected as the fumes or the savor of these burnt offerings would go up into the nostrils of the Lord. That's how the Spirit resurrects us,
and leaves that old pile of ashes on the altar, and we let the Lord live in and through us and represent himself. The Lord doesn't want us to do any good or any evil. He wants us to be dead. The old us has to be dead. All right, and then what?
They do what they want to do according to their moods or feelings. We are talking recognition or the right of ownership.
But now, God wants you to recognize that he owns you. Okay? If you don't recognize that, I can tell people that say that they're Christians whether they're consecrated or not, because I see them doing things that the Bible says that they are not to do. If they were consecrated, they wouldn't be doing it. If they gave themselves to the Lord to use their bodies as he sees fit, they wouldn't be usurping authority. They would never lie. They would never commit adultery or fornication. They would never be lesbians or homosexuals. Right there tells me they're not consecrated. And if you're consecrated, you don't take yourself back. I mean, if I give you you a box of candy, it goes from my hands into yours. Okay? I can't take the candy back. I mean, even if you just ate half the box, I can't come to you and say, I want it back. Because I gave it to you as a gift. When you give yourself as a gift to the Lord, it's his to eat for food. You're his food. You're a sweet-smelling savor. You're resurrected. And he is using, his spirit is in you and using you as he sees fit. You're not your own any longer. You're the home of God, and God wants the entire home. He doesn't want you occupying even one room in the house. Okay? Then what?
But our consecration unto the Lord must not be like that, because if we're truly consecrated, we must sooner or later rest upon the realization of God's right to us, because he bought us with his own blood, with his life. So whether we're in a mood that is happy or a mood that is not happy, it doesn't make any difference, because the fact remains that the Lord has purchased us.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what kind of mood we're in, we belong to the Lord. Okay? So you don't feel like serving the Lord today? You don't go by feelings. You go by, if he says get up and go, you go. Susie was eaten up, my late wife was eaten up with cancer. And she kept serving the Lord right up to the end. Well, the Lord wants to know if you're going to get angry at him because you've got cancer. Susie was doing something wrong. And I told her we were supposed to be distributing literature and winning souls. And she said, I don't want to win any more souls because we buy them brand new clothes. We build homes for them. We buy new refrigerators, stoves, bathroom facilities, everything for them. And then they say, we don't want to be here anymore. We give them a full wardrobe from the Alamo of Nashville, the number one clothing store in the world. And they say, okay, and they've got this full wardrobe and all kinds of pairs of boots and everything. We give them new glasses and they fix their teeth and everything. And then they say, adios, amigo, want a ticket on the bus? And we send them out. She says, I'm tired of it. And so I said, Susie, if we don't continue on, God will bless us if we continue on. But he'll die with this cancer if you don't. And sure enough, she died. And she said, I don't care, Tony. I just can't stand these wicked people that just use the Lord. I said, it's the Lord's money. What do you care about it? He doesn't care. He doesn't want us to give up, throw in the towel, because some of the people that we're winning to the Lord will be saved. You cannot be discouraged and quit. If you do, you're going to die, and you could go to hell too. I can't help it, Tony. I just can't do it. And I said, what about me? I love you. I don't want to do without you. Do it for me. Let me do it. No, because you're too, you're brutally honest, and you're going to cause a lot of friction, and it's even going to be worse, and I'm so sick now with this cancer that I won't be able to stand the flack that you cause. She says, if you want to, start preaching all this truth and everything that you want to do, wait until I'm dead, because my nerves can't stand it. And as soon as she was dead, I was so angry at Satan that I started coming after the Vatican that was persecuting. Every problem that we ever had was coming from Rome. We traced it back to Rome and to the every judge that and every officer that pulled us into courtrooms were all Catholics. And this has been proven many times. I even had a hit record on the national charts. And it was number 50 on the charts with a bullet, and it was going up. And the man at Cashbox stated there, he's getting so many calls from Catholics saying, take it off or we'll blow your building up. I said, they won't do that, man, you know. He says, look, man, use a different name. He said, I got to take you off the charts. And they're vicious. They've always been known to be vicious. But, you know, to me, you know, I laughed about it because whatever's of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I don't need to have a hit record out there anymore. The name of the record was Quiet Nights of Quiet Stars, an Antonio Carlos Jobim song on an album that I did. Okay, and then let's go on. I mean, I'm just saying, this is just one of the many things. Then the officers, John Peeler was the FBI agent, and he was a special agent, and he was with the BATF, secret agent, and he told me and swore that they hired him, they wanted him to assassinate me. And then he said no, he wouldn't do it, so they sent his son to prison. And we have a copy of his whole confession of that and how they tried to get him to go over to Waco and kill David Koresh. For no reason whatsoever. There wasn't any reason for killing that man or those children and those women. None whatsoever. They called it a turkey shoot. Now, the way the Lord tells us to bind Satan here on earth, and he'll bind him in heaven, and the way to bind him is to expose them. And that's what I'm doing, okay? After my wife Susie passed away, I could have cared less whether he killed me. And it's been 24 years now that she's died. And they started singing Wake Up Little Susie and things like that. I mean, they're vicious, corrupt, sick people. The hierarchy. Now, I've met a lot of very nice Catholics, and I have nothing against them. It's just the doctrine of the Catholic, the Vaticans, and the evil things that they do, the hierarchy. All right? And they use presidents and kings and queens to do their dirty work, so it takes the heat off of them. All right, what else?
One of these days, we're going to be standing before the judgment seat of the Lord to be judged by him, and it will be based on our consecration.
Right. If it's a good judgment, you'll have a good judgment if you just gave yourself to the Lord and let him do whatever he wants to with you. But if you don't, you're not going to like Judgment Day. You're going to despise it. You're going to hate it. You're going to hate yourself for not doing what for giving yourself as a gift to the Lord to use. And though some people have given themselves as a gift to the Lord, and then they take themselves back and start doing the things they did when they were sinners. And if there's any fiber of God left in you whatsoever, you better get back to him right away before it's too late. Okay, then what?
The reason that God will be judging will not be because of whether we love him or not, or whether we liked to be consecrated or not. The reason for it is based on the fact of whether we were bought by him or not.
Yeah. No. It's not going to be, did you love me? He's not going to say that. He knows you love him if you keep his commandments. He knows you love his word and he knows you believe his word, because if you believe his word, you know that you'll go to hell if you don't consecrate yourself, give yourself completely to him so he can use you. Now, if you do that, there's no fear whatsoever. You will not be destroyed if you do what the Lord says. You will not be destroyed if you do what the Lord says. But if you don't, you're going to be destroyed, and on top of that, you're going to spend eternity being destroyed in the lake of fire. So, you know, we have no alternative. If you have any brains in your head, any sense at all, you're going to give yourself to the Lord, and just say whatever comes, whatever goes. Our life here is just like a grass, a blade of grass, a shadow, a vapor. We are here and gone. But eternity is forever, and we're going to do what he says for so that we can spend eternity in heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And stay completely out of hell in the lake of fire. Okay, and the Bible is very clear of what we're supposed to do, what he wants us to do. And then we're not to make up what we want to do. We're to let him do it. Okay, then what?
The reason for it is based on the fact of whether we were bought by him or not.
The reason for a good judgment is whether we say, yes, we surrendered ourselves completely to him to use, or we didn't. It's just, you know, just like black and white. All right. Then what?
That we realize that, and whether you kept that in your heart or not. Because we are bought by him, there isn't anything that we can do but consecrate ourselves to him.
Right, because he bought us. If I go to the store and get a bag of groceries, they're mine. I can use them if I want. When he died and paid for us with the greatest price of in the universe, his blood and his life and his blood, and then went to hell for us, that's the purchase price. And if you're not thankful for that, and if you don't give yourself to him for that, so that he can use you to win souls, then there's no mercy in you whatsoever. And therefore, you'll receive no mercy eternally. You'll be screaming your head off in the lake of fire. But if you do what the Lord says, you'll be blessed in this world and given more abundance, have life and life more abundantly here, and you'll have eternal life, immortality in heaven. With him, okay, and all of us saints. Okay, then what?
If we want to go to heaven, there isn't anything that we can say about it. So no matter what anyone says...
No, there's nothing that we can say about being consecrated. We just say, yes, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Just like Matthew and Mark and John did. They dropped their nets, and Matthew got up from his post at the IRS station and left all the money sitting there, and just went and followed him. Amen?
Amen.
And you IRS agents, you know, you think you've got a real hot job over there. If I were you, I'd drop the coins out of your greedy, red, hairy fists and start following the Lord, okay? Because you're consecrating yourself unto Satan, and there's going to be a real ill reward for you. You don't have any... You don't know whether you're going to live another day, another minute for that matter. You've only got one breath in your nose, and God can yank it on you anytime he pleases. Okay, then what?
So no matter what anyone says, there isn't any way that we should, if we want to go to heaven, neglect the reason for consecrating ourselves.
Yeah, the reason is he bought us, and the motive for us serving is his love, keeping God's commandments. And he'll bless us all throughout our life here and take us right up into heaven when it's over. And it's going to be over. Okay? You're not going to live forever. Nobody does. Okay? Then what else? Except our spirits are going to live on forever, either in heaven or hell. Okay? Then what?
When we read the words in the Bible and the reason for our consecrating ourselves, it's possible to understand with our mind and to receive with our heart, but it isn't enough. We can't say that we have the reason for consecration. We need to experience the reason on a practical basis in our daily life.
Yeah, we have to receive consecration. We have to actually let Lord use us. Okay, then what?
Each time something comes up that would cause us to think that we can argue with God, we still must receive him and say to him, Lord, I'm your slave because you bought me. My right of ownership has been purchased by you.
I don't own myself any longer. Okay, then what?
I declare it worldwide. I admit you are right. Whatever matter it is that you're discussing with the Lord, you must let the Lord know that you recognize his right to decide everything for you. Anytime anybody leaves this position of consecration, they must for sure realize that they are in a state of rebellion, similar to the rebellion of Saul or Onesimus, who ran away from his master Philemon. Whenever we're given the opportunity to make a choice, we must always consider the reason for our consecration. That is, again, over and over again, is that we have to be consecrated because we're purchased. This is the foundation, This is the rock that we must stand on. If we stand up, we're standing securely, never again to depart from it. If we sincerely experience consecration, for sure we have taken to heart the reason of consecration.
Right, if somebody bought me,
it's like these slaves. They do what they're told. And with the Lord, you don't dare go around the barn and have a smoke. Or, you know, of course, you better not be smoking anyway. And you better not, you know. On this side of eternity, we work. In eternity, in the kingdom of heaven, we rest forever. And we play. And we have fun there. But here we work. And that is, we let God work his works in us. Okay, and then what?
When I was arrested on false charges, I didn't have anything to say. When they put me in prison for 6 years, of which I served 4, there wasn't anything that I could do about that. I know that I am consecrated unto the Lord. What can I do? Even if they kill me, whatever God is going to let them do, I'll let him do the choosing for me. They had many times...
Because he owns me. I don't own myself, okay? I'm his to command. Him to use. I'm his to use. Then what?
They had many times beaten me, but I was willing to accept whatever it is, because I know that I don't belong to myself. So even if it's unto death, you need to stand on the foundation, the reason for my consecration. I don't belong to myself. I really know God's right to ownership of myself. And that's the reason of my consecration. The realization of the reason of consecration must also go to the same extent. There is also a motive. We must realize why we must consecrate ourselves. We must also know the motive. We must have a motive of consecration. This has to do with a person's heart in consecration. So if you want to have a consecration that will cause you to not go to hell, but will cause you to spend eternity in heaven, you not only need to know or realize the reason for it, but also you need to have a good motive for being consecrated. Even though you know the reason for consecrating yourself because of the fact that you've been bought by the Lord and redeemed by God by the shedding of his Son's blood and the death of his Son, yet the realization of the reason is not good enough. It's not totally sufficient to cause...
Well, a lot of people know, they hear, oh yeah, God bought us, yeah, yeah, yeah. But no, you're his. Know you not that you're the home of God, the temple of God, and you don't belong to yourself, so let God move in and let your own spirit, your selfishness, yourself die, and let him who is good and precious and wonderful do what he wants to do with you. All right, then what?
It's not totally sufficient to cause you to feel like consecrating yourself. You've got to have a motive as well. Your heart must be moved by the Holy Spirit, and it must cause you to consecrate yourself. Not because of ownership or because he created you, but because it's something that you must have in you that causes you to be willing to be consecrated for your own good. If we were like trees and God purchased trees or any other object, such as a fax machine or television set, there's no way that he could proceed directly to use them as he pleases and have any glory in it or see any devotion in it.
Right, because fax machines and TVs, they don't have a will. They do what you want them to do, but so he can't use them. God never imposes his will on us. So he knows we have a will, and so... he wants us, that's something that we have to do. He's not going to do it for us. There is the will we have to choose of whatever he wants. And therefore, I was hearing a preacher stated that we're one of these television zappers. What do they call that where you zap the TV?
Remote control.
A remote control. We're remote controls. In other words, we have the right to, if we're caught in a situation where there's lust, change channels. Amen. I thought that was a real good message. Because you're the remote control. You can control yourself by the Holy Spirit, and you do it because you're motivated by the Word of God, because he owns you. And if you're afraid when you're being captured or some, or if something happens that's bad, change the channel. Don't worry about it. Just go to your remote control person, and so change the channel to what God says. Amen?
Amen.
God says just trust Him, even if you're at the Red Sea, and He will open it for you. Amen? And
Amen.
It goes on and on. This guy had a good message. Okay, what else?
God has not redeemed TVs or fax machines, but He has redeemed living people.
Right, and I see my time is up. The Lord tells us to redeem the time, and so I don't want to go off the air today without giving anyone an opportunity to use yourself as a one of these remote controls and turn off the part of you that says, no, I don't want to be a servant of the Lord or to let the Lord use me. Turn that off. Go to the channel that says you must if you want to go to heaven. And say this prayer before the Lord and mean it. Say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open up the door of my heart, and I invite You into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that You shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul, I know, because Your Word says so. You are the Word. It's impossible with God to lie. And the Bible, Your Word says that all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, no matter what we've done in the past. You'll wash all those sins away, and You'll enter into us and give us the power to be able to do the things that You want to do in us. So therefore, Lord, I know I'm calling upon You. I know You've heard me, and I know You've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank You, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands up and praise and thank the Lord. Thank You, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And just keep praising and thanking the Lord and keep consecrating yourself. Now here's Sharon to tell you how to receive program number 183. Please specify if you want a tape or a CD.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
All right, now we're out of time, and tomorrow will be part 82 of How to Have God's Life Living in You. And now... Now that you're saved, let us know. Call us. We're really interested in knowing whether you received the Lord, and we will supply you with all kinds of literature that will strengthen your soul and cause you to have enough power in the Lord to continue consecrating yourself, keeping yourself consecrated unto the Lord until the time that He, until you expire. And some of us will be here when the Lord comes back. He's come back very soon. So until tomorrow, tape number, or part number 82. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying, God bless you and keep in consecration. Amen.